Hello and welcome to Midwest Writers Room. Our mission is to encourage, educate, and celebrate writers of the Midwest. I'm Luella Schmidt.
And I'm Ken Humphrey. Today we're launching our Chapter Break episode series. These are short-form versions of our normal show and will feature authors speaking on their latest book publication with insight to the story origin and an excerpt reading.
In this episode, we're talking with Sue Leamy Kies. Sue is a retired high school English teacher who lives in Platteville. After almost 30 years in the classroom at Platteville High School, Sue has focused her efforts on writing a memoir of her teaching experiences, intertwined with memories of her teen years at that same school. It's called My Homecoming Dance, Reflections on Teaching in Wisconsin.
Sue's writing has appeared in Wisconsin Woman Magazine, the Wisconsin State Journal, the Illinois English Bulletin, the Voice of the River Valley, and the Wisconsin Academy Review. In 2021, the Center for Applied Drama and Autism chose her play Back, about a disabled veteran, to be performed for their one-act play festival. The Platteville Library Foundation published her children's book called Savin' Sadie in 2017, and Sassy's Vacation, her second kid's book, was published by the Platteville Community Arboretum in 2022. Besides reading and writing, Sue enjoys spending time outdoors and with family, including her husband Dave, Border Collie mix Jojo, and backyard chickens Cluck and Buck.
Welcome, Sue. We're so excited to have you. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing very well.
Wonderful.
All right, so let's dive into it. My Homecoming Dance. How did it start? Where did the story come from? Talk us through it.
Well, it's kind of a long process, just like any writing is. When I was teaching, when something interesting would happen in the classroom, I would write down the story because I thought, oh, this is kind of neat. And also during those years, I would take my creative writing students. I had a class of creative writers. We would go to the UW-Whitewater conference in the fall, and they had a section for teachers. You could bring something. So I began kind of editing and honing some of these stories, and I took it to this conference and entered the teachers division, and you know, people would give me feedback and that. So that's kind of how it started. Then it kind of evolved into a pile of stories. And when I retired, I thought, you know, I might want to do something with these. So I took some classes. The one where I really kind of got the idea was the one I took with Maria Mills through the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters. And about writing memoir. And I got the idea of taking some of my experiences in the school as a student and intertwining them with my stories as a teacher. And then in that same class, I formed a writing group with some other women, and we continued to meet for every Wednesday for a couple hours. And they all have their writing projects going on too. So that's kind of how the book evolved.
Yeah, that's great. We've heard many, many times on the podcast the value of critique partners, people to share your work with and get feedback.
Yes, they were very, very helpful. They call themselves, they're the book's aunties now.
Oh, I like that.
The book has five aunties, and they all, you know, are really helping me promote it. They're going to be at my book launch, and they're extremely supportive and have wonderful writing of their own that are, it's just really neat to be part of a community like that. So
yeah, it takes a village to make the baby come alive. I love it.
Yes.
Oh, well, you stole my line. I was going to say,
oh,
that.
No,
you beat me to it. Dang, you being smarter than me again. It sounds interesting. Is there a common theme that kind of threads through this memoir, or are these essentially standalone anecdotal stories?
There is a common theme. It's kind of organized thematically through, like, there are a couple chapters on technology, like what the good of technology and the bad, and in the past and in the present. And, you know, I guess the theme is of education and school and learning as an adult, as a teen. And that is threaded through the whole thing. And I kind of go through, in a way, a year of teaching, even though it flashes back and forth and all that. It kind of covers my career. I talk about starting out and in the beginning of the year, what it's like, and then kind of wrapping up when I retire and, like, at the end of the year. So that 1 year encompasses kind of my career.
Oh, nice. I like that. So, can we talk briefly about the cover?
Yeah, the cover, I'm very, really happy with the cover. It's a mirror ball because I thought, well, that kind of represents a dance. I kind of suggested this, and this kind of was born in my writing group too. They helped me brainstorm for, oh, what would be good on the cover? And that was one that came up. So it's a mirror ball to represent a dance, and since this is called My Homecoming Dance, reflections on teaching. And so it's got these beautiful emanations coming from the mirror ball, and it's all in a purple that fades out. And I just think it's very representative of the story I tell.
And
It's
very
very eye-catching.
distinctive.
It catches your attention. I'm very happy with it.
I like it. And we will actually add a image of that cover into our show notes page so that reader or listeners can find that, recognize it. So let's now kind of jump into an actual reading. And so here we are, Sue. What do you got for us?
Well, I decided to read the beginning of my chapter three, which is called Don't Touch My Stapler. But it's actually kind of about the first day, because we can all remember first days of school, how exciting that is. I mean, even when you start school as a little kid, you know, remember how exciting that was. And so I kind of tell it from the perspective of a teacher. At 8:10 a.m., my first hour juniors began to file in. Some bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, others not so much. Most of them would soon realize that a 7 to 7:30 a.m. wake-up time might require a bedtime earlier than 2 a.m. However, a few would sleepwalk through the first period of the entire semester. The first day was an exception. Even the most exhausted, aloof teens could not remain completely cool. It held far more promise than New Year's Day ever has. It was the only day when perfect attendance prevailed. Everyone had an A, everyone behaved, everyone was well-groomed, and everyone was happy to be there, if only to see their friends again, show off their new school supplies, and don their new outfits. While tidying up in June at the end of last year, I found a half-empty milk carton stashed between a bookshelf and a petrified banana peel between the filing cabinets. Now, thanks to the summer cleaning crew, my classroom smelled of freshly waxed floors, janitorial cleaning supplies, and enticing lessons. And the whiteboards were white, almost glowing. Gone were the cloudy smears of leftover notes and student graffiti. Images of William Shakespeare, Emily Dickinson, and Henry David Thoreau joined Mark Twain on the walls for literary inspiration. My books and handouts stood at attention on the front table, and neither my students nor I had lost or misplaced anything yet. After filing in, the students grumbled about the seating chart as they found their assigned seats. We then reviewed the syllabus of topics, units, and requirements. The first few years I taught, I'd included a lengthy list of do's and don'ts, complete with the detailed consequences for not complying. A few years down the road, it occurred to me that there would always be those rascals whose primary goal was to disrupt my class. Why then, on the first day, was I providing them with an itemized list of the very things that irritated me most? I decided on one rule and one word that covered it all. Often I would play the song by the same name as they walked in the door. Aretha even spelled it out for them. RESPECT. Respect me and respect each other, I told them. If you don't, I'm going to do something. I liked the ambiguity of something. It gave me the opportunity to call the infraction like I saw it and mull over the resulting consequences. And it gave them time to fret about what those consequences might be. I reminded them that the rule also included respecting other people's property, particularly my automatic stapler. Do not touch my stapler, I said, staring them down. If you touch it, you can bet I'll do something. Like, take away your class participation points for the entire week, call your parents, or make your life miserable in ways you cannot imagine. Again, do not touch my stapler. If it runs out of staples, tell me and I will refill it. Under no circumstances may any of you touch my stapler. Got it? Most nodded compliantly at me, the wacko woman ranting about her stapler. I could see the wheels turning. Man, it's a stupid stapler. This is going to be a long year. I wonder if anyone else teaches junior English. The day it arrived several years ago, I slid it out of the box and carefully removed it from the styrofoam packing material. It was black, beautiful, and sleek. I was not a technology nerd who craved every new gadget, but this stapler, it awakened the geek in me. I plugged it in, grabbed a couple scraps of paper from my desk, and fed them into its jaws. Wham! I flinched. Then I turned the papers around and tried it again. Wham! Wham! Wow. It magically sensed the sheets of paper and smacked them down, attaching them with the utmost of precision. What an invention, a stapler with initiative. Now, if only I could activate this attribute in my students. Previously, I'd ordered at least one new stapler every spring because none could withstand an entire year of 60 to 80 17-year-olds who didn't just staple paper, but backpacks, tennis shoes, pencils, folders, jeans, milk cartons, orange peels, the wall, each other. Anything and everything was stapleable in their estimation. Anything. And then, when the stapler inevitably wouldn't work anymore, they intoned those well-intentioned, exasperating words. "Don't worry, Mrs. Kies. I can fix it for you." Countless too-young-to-die staplers went to their dumpster graves at the hands of some overconfident students who disassembled them and couldn't get them back together again in working condition. If the stapler failed to function after their adjustments, the repairers reacted. Bam, bam, bam! Slamming down overlap palms like zealous EMTs performing CPR. Later in life, these same students who thrived on knowing how things worked, how a pencil sharpener sharpened, how a toilet flushed, how a car ran, would invent something grand or be able to fix anything. But in my classroom, they would never again touch my frickin' stapler.
I think I'm having flashbacks. Oh my.
I loved it.
Yeah, that was very nice. And I'll tell you what, you know, teachers, you know, last few years have just kind of had a rough go of it. A lot of things have been going on, but I don't think they ever really fully understand the reach of their impact. And my own writing career was spawned over 10 years ago by an offhanded comment from one of my son's teachers, right? And I've told her since then, but I don't think teachers fully understand that, you know, things that they say, throwaway comments that they make, actually can have an impact, a long-standing impact. So, you know, take heart out there. Your words go farther than you think.
Thank you, Sue. That was a great excerpt. So how about where can readers find your book?
They, on June 11th is when the book launches. They can find it in bookstores everywhere, really, online, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any major booksellers.
And what about launch signings, appearances? What have you got scheduled for that?
Well, so far I have a book launch scheduled on June 11th at the Platteville Public Library. It starts at 4:30, and I'll be doing some reading a little bit and answering some questions and signing books and that. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then on the next week, it's on June 22nd, I'll be at the Hedberg Library Book Fair and doing some signing there too. So far, that's all I've got scheduled, but I'm hoping to do more. So if anybody out there wants somebody to come and talk or sign a book, or I would love to do that.
And certainly, as you get more things scheduled, you know, send them our way. We'll add them to the WWA event calendar.
Okay.
So that all members can see, you know, where you're going to be at and when.
Sounds good.
And I would probably be remiss if we didn't mention that this is also a WWA Press offering.
Yes.
This is our third book from WWA Press. And so, you know, honored to have you play in that role.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have this book in the catalog. I mean, you know, we want to highlight stories from Wisconsin, and this book is just really a lovely addition. So thank you for that as well.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled as well. I really am. This is a dream come true.
Yeah.
Yep. I think we're all looking forward to it. So Sue, I want to thank you for spending the time with us today, you know, telling us about your memoir, you know, letting us get some insight behind it, and for our listeners to get a jump on when that will be released on June 11th. So everybody take a look for it. Keep your eyes open. Again, it is titled My Homecoming Dance, Reflections on Teaching in Wisconsin. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Midwest Writers Room today. I'm Ken Humphrey.
And I'm Luella Schmidt. Words ignite imaginations and spark change. Never underestimate the power of storytelling.
Midwest Writers Room is a production of the Wisconsin Writers Association. Writing and editing by Luella Schmidt and Ken Humphrey. Sound design and editing by Ken Humphrey. Music for the Midwest Writers Room is written by Michael Ramirez C. For more information, please visit wiwrite.org/podcast. Thank you.